Good morning, everyone. Just a few pre-announcements as we get started. First, please remember that in between services, roughly about 9:15, there'll be a special voters meeting this morning. And like I said, special voters meeting about 9:15 for a hiring possibility. Also, the junior high and senior high youth groups, they're going to meet here at the church. I got to get everything right. Here at the church at 4 o'clock. So junior high, senior high, youth group combined. It is a scavenger hunt. They're meeting here at 4 o'clock, and that is from 4 to 6. And hot chocolate and snacks will be provided for the kids. Also today, the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, the LWML, is hosting the Donut Hour. And all the donations that are given during Donut Hour are going to purchase the baby's first Bible that our ladies group gives to every family who has a baby born here at, no longer can I say ALMH, I guess I just have to say Lincoln Memorial Hospital. But they give out baby's first Bible to those families. So there's a little gold donation box out in the connecting of the two buildings, and then in the auditorium also. So keep that in mind as you're going to Donut Hour this morning. Let us turn now to our opening hymn, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, November 14th, 2021 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Robert Clem. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 725, Children of the Heavenly Father, hymn number 725 found in the Lutheran service book. Joanne Marlin and family are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Urban Schrader's birthday on October 30th. Kent and Sarah Kleinschmidt are sponsoring the radio broadcast to the glory of God in thanksgiving for his many blessings.
Let us rise. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue now with the Psalm of the day, Psalm 16, spoken responsively. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you.
As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight.
The sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips.
The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot.
The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance.
I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me.
I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. By your bountiful goodness, release us from the bonds of our sins, which by reason of our weakness we have brought upon ourselves, that we may stand firm until the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading for this, the 25th Sunday after Pentecost, is from the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, beginning at the first verse. At that time shall arise Michael, the great prince who has charge of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never has been since there was a nation till that time. But at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone whose name shall be found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. What benefits does baptism give?
It works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, as the words and promises of God declare.
Which are these words and promises of God?
Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.
The epistle reading from Hebrews, the 10th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse. Every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to this. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Wherefore, brothers, since we have the confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter. As Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings. And Jesus said to him, do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down. And as he sat down on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to be accomplished?" And Jesus began to say to them, "See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. These are but the beginning of the birth pains. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you over to councils, and you will be beaten in synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them. And the gospel must first be proclaimed to all nations. And when they bring you and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. And brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, any of the children who would like to come forward for a children's message would please do so at this time. Going through some of these readings, kids, and I was thinking, and we'll ask maybe moms and dads out here to do this too. We talk about sin a lot, and we know sin is doing what God asks us not to do, right? You see somebody else's pen or pencil that you really like, and you take it. God says, don't steal. We don't do that. Sometimes it so happens that people are mean to one another. Have you ever had a time when somebody was mean to you? Maybe. Yeah. I bet we could ask them, you ever had a time when somebody was mean to you? Now I'm going to try and do a little, we can call it an exercise or an experiment. Okay. I want you to think. Okay, close your eyes, and I want you to imagine or remember a very specific time when somebody was mean to you. Okay, I want you to see that person's face in your mind. I want you to think about it, okay, and what they did. All right. Now the next step that I want you to do, it's going to take a lot of concentration, a lot of hard work. They're doing it out there too because they're thinking. I want you to use all your power, all your strength, everything you have in you, and forget it. Close your eyes. Push it away from you. Push it away. Push it out of your mind. Push it out of your memory. Okay. Now, what was that thing? Real quick in your head, what was that thing that they were mad at and you were mean to you about? You don't have to tell me. I don't need to know. Do you? Well, okay. Now, can you forget that? No. Okay. All right. That's okay. I have a little brother, too. Yeah. The thing I found out about little brothers, they don't stay little forever. Got to be pretty nice to them. Nobody out there? They could think about forgetting somebody being mean to them, but they couldn't forget it. They can't. The best you and I can do is every time that thing comes to the front of our mind and we want to dwell on it, we want to let it grow in us, we have to take it from the front of our mind and we have to shove it all the way back and do our best to ignore it, imagine it never happened, pretend like it's gone. That's the best we can do. And it'll come forward again. And we have to work hard about putting it back. But the promise of God is something absolutely altogether different. And that's what stood out to me as I was reading that. Matter of fact, you can probably look here and I've got a line underlined. I've got a... Can you tell me what that line is? What does it say? I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Now there's something that God does that you and I were quite incapable of doing. Remembering no more. This whole section from that second reading, well, you can't. So you just turn around and see Jesus on the cross. You can see that. Just turn your head around. That was that one sacrifice for sin that takes it away, all of them. We had something, I'm going to go to eighth grade. We had one of our eighth graders say something I thought was really neat. I said, I'm going to steal it. Not a bad steal. I'm going to use it because I'm giving Jason credit. We talk about blotting out our sins. And always before, when I thought about blotting out of sins, I thought about taking like something and covering something else over, right? Blot it out, cover it over. And Jason said, well, isn't it like when you spill something on the floor, like a soda stain or a wine stain, and you grab a rag and you blot it and you draw all the stain out? And I thought that was mighty perceptive, to blot out our sins and remember them no more. All of our sins are on Christ. He has taken them away. And when God looks at us, God remembers our sin. They're gone. Absolutely 100% all gone. And God remembers our sins no more because of what Jesus has done for us. We're so very thankful. We're so very happy and pleased for what Jesus has done. He has paid for all of our sins. He has taken them onto himself. And so that when God looks at us, he sees our sins and remembers them no more. And because God does that, when those things that are done against us come rushing to the front of our head, then because Jesus forgave us, we can take them and shove them away and say, you have forgiven me. I will forgive others. I will forgive as I have been forgiven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that for the sake of Jesus, your Son, you remember our sins no more, that they are completely and totally gone as far as you are concerned, so that on the day of resurrection, you will see us as pure and holy, your lambs, ushering us into the heavenly kingdom to live in glory forever. Lord, bless each and every one of us, helping us all to forgive as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Kids, thank you for coming down. And you remember that God remembers your sins no more. Let us continue with the singing of the next hymn, "The Day is Surely Drawing Near."
The hymn of the day is hymn number 508, "The Day is Surely Drawing Near," hymn number 508 in the Lutheran Service Book.
the sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The end of the church year, it's obvious we ponder the end of the world. And Jesus has some words for us as we ponder the end of the world. He says, the one who endures to the end will be saved. That's a fascinating word. Endure. Now, Jesus could have picked a bunch of different words. He could have used all kinds of words, I am sure, but he chose this particular word. To suffer patiently and to suffer without yielding. The word endure is a word that Jesus very specifically uses. And it gives an indication to we Christians on how confessing Christ may go for the individual believer until that individual believer is called forth from this world. The strange thing is that when it comes to confessing Christ, his person and work, when we say confessing the name of Christ, that's encompasses everything in the creeds, encompasses all that Jesus came to do, all that he had done, everything he taught. And we say, confess the name of Jesus. That's what we mean. The whole message and who Jesus is, right? When it comes to confessing Christ, both good times and tough times, bad times, can get in the way of confessing Christ. And it made me think of one of the Proverbs. I looked it up. I wish I could pronounce this gentleman's name, this sage's name, in chapter 30 of the book of Proverbs. The Sayings of Augur, A-U-G-U-R, Augur. And I want to zero in on verses 8 and 9. This wise sage says, "Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Lest I be full and say, "Who is the Lord? I don't need him." Or lest I be hungry and steal and profane the name of God. When things are full and all things are good, it's true that many people feel no need to turn to the Lord our God. When times are bad, people are often tempted to justify their ill and bad behavior because of the circumstances that they find themselves in. Now, in the gospel today, we have this unnamed disciple saying to Jesus as they walk out of the temple, "Jesus," I mean, these are big. These things are huge stones. That were the foundation and the base of Herod's temple, the great temple in Jerusalem, one of the ancient wonders of the world, I think. Anyway, this unnamed disciple looks at Jesus and says, "Jesus, look at these. Look how great these stones are. How great is the temple? The riches of the people and the glory of the temple, that is good times, received a cautionary tale from Jesus. Jesus says, look at them. Not one of these stones will be left on top of another." There's that warning to us. Be careful to look at the things of man. Be careful of looking at the things of man, all the temples that we build to ourselves. For they can draw us away from God, and they can draw us away from the things of God. Now, good times, celebrating, love, prosperity, look, like all these things are good. There's nothing wrong with them in and of themselves. But they have a tendency or a possibility of drawing us away from worshiping God. And rarely do we look at celebrations and good times and love and prosperity. Rarely do we look at those things as something to endure. And yet it might be for an individual that they have to endure good times endure love and celebrating because it's trying to draw them away from the confession of Christ. So Jesus gives the heads up. Hey, do you see these buildings? There won't be left one stone here upon another. And he was right. The Romans tore down that temple. All this good stuff, says Jesus, will be thrown down. So remember, do not let them take away from you your confession of faith. It is better by far to choose faithfulness over success. Better to choose faithfulness over success. Jesus leads the disciples to their thoughts as they walk to the Mount of Olives, and it's a walk that's just shy under 2 miles. And so I'm pretty confident there was quite a bit of thinking going on as they were walking. And by the time they get there, the men have some questions that they want to ask of Jesus. And they say, well, when will these things happen, Jesus? And Jesus doesn't give them a solid answer. Later in this chapter, Jesus will say, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But concerning that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time... That's how Jesus admonishes us. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you don't know when that time will come. He says, observe the times. Be aware of the signs. See that you're not deceived. Wait and endure. Don't get taken in by those who claim to be the Messiah. There are false Christs who show up and manifest the disasters upon themselves and upon their followers. In our times, this is the in crass fashion, the Jim Joneses of the world, the David Koreshes of the world. But then there are whole denominations that substitute the work of Christ for the merit of people. They're putting themselves up and say, no, Christ did not pay for all. You must do your piece. You must do your part. They're setting people up in the place of Christ. That is false doctrine and a false teaching. And we must always be aware of it. Because it is the Messiah who came to pay the price for sins. And we do not want to be deceived and thus lose our lives and our souls for all of eternity. And Jesus goes on, when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, never be alarmed. It must be, but the end is not yet. Now, I, for my part, was born during the time of the Vietnam War. I can remember very clearly the Cold War. Had the War on Terror affect my life very personally by being deployed. And am now living... waiting to see what happens between our nation and other nations as countries such as China and Russia are expanding and pushing their political power out into the world. And we're all wondering, will there be another great world war coming? We don't know. But sabers are rattling, and there is war, and the rumors of war. Will you let rumors of war steal your faith in Christ? Jesus says, do not do that. Do not let the rumors of war steal your faith in Christ. Rumors of war, though, are impersonal. They're big issues. They're out there that politicians take care of and politicians deal with. Persecution of Christians and persecution of Christianity, for us, that is much more intensely personal. It can affect our lives. Now, official state-sanctioned persecution of Christians doesn't exist in our country at this time. It isn't in our communities, right? It's not in our cities. We're only currently faced with soft persecution, the persecution of mockery, the persecution of being the butt of jokes, perhaps maybe a little stricter persecution being called hateful or phobic of something for our beliefs and stands and morality and marriage and human life. So, in the soft persecution of mockery, how do we fare? Are we bearing up under it? Or there is the stricter persecution of being called hateful for our moral stands. I wonder how many Christians have fallen to the philosophies of the world and have abandoned Christ for the fear of being teased or the fear of being mocked or the fear of being wrong. Jesus also gives warning of being hauled off into jail. His disciples faced that under the persecutions by the Jewish leaders of their day, and some in the Roman courts and some before other pagan courts. Think of Stephen being stoned, or Peter before the Sanhedrin, or Paul before Roman governors. It's good to consider these things now. It's good in a time in which we live to consider how we would behave and act and plan how you will behave and act under persecution if and when such times do come. Because that type of persecution would bring with it great suffering to your family. Deny Christ or lose your job. Deny Christ or your children go hungry. Which one would you choose? Would you choose to deny Christ and lessen the suffering? Or would you cling to the confession of your faith? It's worth pondering and thinking about now, playing that in your head. Now, it may not be in our lifetime. It may never, ever happen where we live. But we are aware that it has happened in the world before, and there are places where it's going to happen again. And we do well to consider sitting in prison while family goes hungry, to think about what it would be if that happens. And then, well, all you have to do to get out of jail is to deny Jesus, and everything will be fine. Deny your Savior, and it'll all be good. And you can get out, you can go back to work, you can go back to your daily life. Think about these things periodically. It's what we do now at the end of the church year. Consider them and ponder them. Now that it is a fearful thing to be told by our Savior, all will hate you on my account. It's something to think on. Many a Christian congregation, hasn't it, fractured and broken over a roofing project, over a building and grounds problem? Heck, congregations have blown up over changing a hymnal, for goodness sakes. You know, what color it is. Well, I want the old red one. Well, the old red one is actually the old blue one, and I like that one better because that's the one I grew up with. And people fight over such issues like that, and the devil laughs. The devil laughs. For when we are distracted by such things, we are not united against persecution, nor are we aware of what is to come. It is the end of the church year. And at the end of the church year, we ponder the end of the world. All things in this life are going to come to an end, no matter how beautiful they are or how terrible they are. The person who stands up under these adverse circumstances unto death, Jesus says, will be saved. Hear now the word of your God and your Savior, who says, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before we continue with the offering, this morning I would like to invite Jan Saylor Ford. She is going to join our congregation by profession of faith. Jan, could you come forward to the altar, please? beloved in the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ says to his apostles, whoever confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Jan, I ask you to lift up your heart, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Do you this day in the presence of God in this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave to you in your baptism? If so, then answer, yes, I do. Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? If so, then answer, yes, I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? If so, then answer, yes, I believe. Do you hold the Old Testament and the New Testament and all of the Scriptures to be the inspired Word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the Small Catechism to be faithful and true? If so, then answer, I do. Do you intend to hear the Word of God and to receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? If so, then answer, I do, by the grace of God. Do you intend to live according to the Word of God and in faith, word, and deed? To remain true to God, Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? If so, then answer, I do, by the grace of God. Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church, and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, then answer, I do, by the grace of God. Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? If so, then answer, I do. Will you support the work of our gracious Lord has given us to do with your prayers and with the gifts that God has given you? If so, then answer, I will, with the help of God. Jan, upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are now a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us rise for prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing your daughter to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling her both with a heart to believe and with a mouth to confess Jesus' saving name. Grant that by your word and your spirit, Jan may remain and continue steadfast in the one true faith and in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jan, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you always. Amen. I ask you to please return to your seat. We continue now with the prayers of the church. O Christ, once your disciples said to you, stay with us, O Lord, for it is evening and the day is almost over. We, your disciples, now say to you, stay with us, Lord, for the creation is waning and its time is almost over. Keep us, dear Savior, as confessors of the one true faith, so that neither abundance, poverty, betrayal or persecution will remove us from eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, hear us as we pray for Casey Jones and his family as they mourn the death of Casey's mother, Carol. We thank you for your word brought to Carol and for her faith in Christ. Comfort Casey with the confidence of the resurrection and the joy in the reunion with those who have died in the faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord Almighty, we ask you to hear our prayers for comfort and strength upon Paul Hines as he recovers from a small stroke, asking also that he be granted patience and faith that would bear him up under his afflictions. Accept also the praise of Rick Poles as he thanks you that his brother Jeff has returned home from the hospital after heart surgery. Please, dear God, continue to see to Jeff's recovery, even as we ask that all of our unnamed sick would be granted health and healing. For all those who pray for themselves, for all those named in our hearts, grant health and healing according to your will. All of this we ask in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing this morning in the worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or on Facebook Live or on the internet at www.zlclinc.org. Zion services are also available on cable channel 5 and on the LCTV app on your smartphone on Sundays at 10 and 5 and on Wednesdays at 5. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the World Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact the school office at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Let us rise for the singing of the offertory. Pray as our Savior taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, grant to your church your Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but have free course and be preached to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide unto the end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 670, Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones, number 670 in the Lutheran Service Book. Please be seated. Please remembers. First of all, please remember in about 12 minutes we'll hold a special voters meeting here to fill a secretarial position out of Zion Lutheran School. Also, don't forget junior high and senior high youth group. That time is from 4 to 6. 4 to 6 for junior high and senior high youth group. We're going on a scavenger hunt. Meet here at the church. And also, please support the work of the LWML by donating towards their purchasing of books, first Bibles for the infants born here at our local hospital. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.
Test, test.